May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is a familiar passage from Ephesians chapter 6. It says in verse 13, it says, therefore take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to be able to stand firm. The part of that verse I wanted to really make mention of was about standing in the evil day. I don't know if you've discovered this, but there are some days that just seem to be more evil than other days. You often recognize that either by you saying or somebody else saying to you, man, there's just been a lot of warfare today. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about some futuristic event of the second coming. He's talking about just there are just some days where the battle is just more intense. It's easy to walk in the Spirit on the other days, haven't you discovered? And it seems sometimes more difficult to not walk in the Spirit when the evil days come. And many things can create evil days. I was telling somebody earlier that my dog Henry, who is the only person in my family that's actually in my will, because he's so awesome, but as he's gotten older, he doesn't ever like storms. And so whenever there's storms, I'll be asleep and I'll hear Darth Vader going, like he's in my face, like glued to my face. And he can't get close enough. But now his hearing's probably only about 20%. So he's not really sure if it's thundering or not sometimes. And if it thundered and stormed the day before, the next night, like he'll have kept me up that night. And then the next night, I think he has either bad dreams or he's not really sure. But if he sees any kind of flash, even in the room, some kind of light or something, there's that thing again. And he'll just lay there and just stare at me. And so I don't get hardly any sleep. So two nights in a row, I hardly get any sleep. Last night, in the middle of the night, he did that and after a couple hours of sleep. I'd almost fall asleep and wake up, and he'd be looking at me. I'm thinking, why don't you get sleepy? Go to sleep. So I had to get light on. That helps him. And so I realized this morning that I felt a little, this is a word I'm standing against, I felt a little grumpy. And I thought, why am I grumpy? And then I realized, well, I'm really tired. Like, I can't sleep. I haven't slept 2 days. And that reminded me that that's not an excuse for being grumpy. The scripture doesn't say the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, unless you're not getting enough sleep. Or unless your kids are doing what they're supposed to do. It's just not like that. Christian life is supernatural. And therefore, you should be able to train. We should transcend natural things that make it more difficult. So as I mentioned recently, I've been about 3 weeks in Matthew 26, I might be in there for the next 10 years because it's got 75 verses in it. But the Lord was just speaking something to me about that whole issue of there are just some days that are evil days. For whatever the reason, is things just aren't right. And it's more of a battle. And this is this little place that got my attention, ministered to me personally. This is verse 57. And those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. But Peter also followed him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and entered in and sat down with the officers to see the outcome. And so the next verses, bunch of verses, speak of the trial, what's going on. And then it ends, it starts in verse 69. Now it left off with Peter following at a distance into the courtyard, and he sat down. Then the story changes to the trial. And then verse 69 then goes, now Peter, like we're going to pick up this thing about Peter. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, this time, "I do not know the man." And a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, because I can tell by your accent." Southern born. And then he began to curse. Obviously he was a Southern born. And then he began to curse and swear. "And I do not know the man," he said. And immediately a cock crowed, and Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a cock crows, you shall deny me three times." And he went away and wept bitterly. Now, is this all part of the narrative? That it's just the part of the narrative of the Jesus story and the cross, the denial of all that kind of stuff. But was it inevitable that Peter was going to do that? I mean, did God tempt Peter to sin? Did he have to sin for this to happen? No. God tempts no man to evil. Jesus told him what he was going to do because he could see where Peter was at. But did Peter have a shot at not doing this? Yes. Did Peter let him know there are going to be some evil days coming up? Yes. Was this one of those evil days? Yep. Because everything was scary. The whole situation seemed to be falling apart. He had left everything to follow Jesus. And now, here is this situation that would be an evil day, and he passed the test. He didn't pass the test at all. He didn't stand firm. All of us are in Christ. All of us have the same nature, the righteousness of God, because we're in Christ. All of us are in union with Him and His capacity to manifest godliness. That's what God believes about us. That's how each one of us are equipped. That is extremely good news. But it also eliminates every and any excuse. Right? But is it just enough? Like, now automatically, there's an automatic switch. You're in Christ. Your nature is the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus Christ Himself is prepared to now live out that righteous life supernaturally through you. And so it just happens? Or do we have to nurture it? Is there a place of nurturing that relationship? It says the nearness of God is our good. So we're in Christ, but we cultivate and explore that nearness. And so the verse that really meant something to me, the Holy Spirit, I think, intended this for this reason for us, is it says that when Jesus was taken away, oh boy, that's the evil day starting. The crisis has begun. And also Peter also followed him at a distance. If we're content with following Jesus at a distance. Now that's metaphorically speaking. We're one with Christ. But if part of our lifestyle isn't nurturing and cultivating our union with Christ, pressing in, cultivating our consciousness of His presence through intimate contact, if we follow Jesus at a distance, evil days are going to come whether you follow Him at a distance or you're consciously nurturing His presence. Evil days are going to come. Jesus even said in Matthew 7, He said, here's the thing, storms will come. If your house is built on a foundation of the rock Jesus, then your house, spiritual house, won't get blown away. But if it isn't, it'll get blown away. But storms are guaranteed in this fallen world. But the reason Peter blew it is because he followed Jesus at a distance. He had already made a decision out of fear to not stay close. And that decision to follow Jesus at a distance was what was ultimately manifested in the three denials. The three denials were just a consequence of a prior decision to follow Jesus at a distance. You with me? We used to say this a lot. When a crisis comes, when a huge disappointment comes, when the evil day comes, don't find yourself trying to scramble back into the presence of Christ. It is imperative that you're already there. Then you can stand firm in that. Because one of the things that Jesus does, he knows when the evil day is coming. He told Peter about it. When we don't. And as we practice his presence, practice his nearness, he will prepare us to be able to trust him and stand firm when the evil day hits. So the issue here wasn't that Peter denied Jesus three times. The issue is he'd made a decision to not be near, to not draw near. He made a decision to follow at a distance. So he was already dead meat when the heart of the crisis hit. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.